Support for Modern Love comes from Living Proof. How long can you go between washes? Keep your hair cleaner longer while washing less for beautiful, healthier hair. Use the code LOVE at livingproof.com for a free travel size dry shampoo with your $20 order. We are the science. You are the living proof. And by audible.com, now offering listeners a free 30-day trial membership. Choose from more than 180,000 titles, including audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more. Go to audible.com/modern. That's /modern, and get started today.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. Everyone's got their own prom night stories. I went to my high school prom without a date. And maybe this won't surprise you, but I went as the yearbook reporter, complete with film camera and super dorky handmade press badge. So what about your prom night? Maybe you loved it. The corsages, the rented tux, the dress you probably never wore again. Or maybe it was a total disaster. Or maybe you just skipped it altogether. Well, when Frank Paiva was a senior in high school, he wrote a Modern Love essay about his prom experience, or actually, experiences. Emmy-nominated actor Titus Burgess reads us Frank's essay. You may know him as Titus Andromedon from the hit Netflix sitcom Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Here he is reading Frank Paiva's essay, A Prince Charming for the Prom, Not Ever After, Though.
Lately, I've become wary of the question, Frank, what are you doing next Saturday night? In the month of May, it can only mean one thing. I'm going to yet another prom. I know I'm not doing a favor for a cousin. Cousins are out. I'm this century's new answer to the last-minute prom date. The gay best friend. By the end of June, I'll have worn the tuxedo I swiped from the school drama department 3 or 4 times. While most 18-year-old guys are preparing for their one big night, I'm whipping up more magical evenings than Lance Burton or David Copperfield. I'm also swimming in corsages. I went to the florist today for the second time this week, and she gave me a suspicious look. Does she know what I'm up to? After all, I can't be the only one who understands that gay is a new cousin. Until recently, this wasn't really possible because most gay men postponed coming out until college or later, if they came out at all. But now more and more young men are coming out in high school. I knew I was gay in the 6th grade and came out in 8th. Originally, I didn't plan to tell anyone until 9th grade when I would enroll in a new school, but I decided I needed to let people know who I really was. My decision had a traumatic aftermath. How is school supposed to handle the coming out of an 8th grader? My middle school also contained an elementary school, and later parents feared for their little children, worried, I suppose, that I might convert them or something. I endured a set of excruciating meetings with school administrators, during which parameters for my behavior were discussed. That and the cruelty of my classmates left me feeling isolated and scared. And I found myself mostly turning to girls for support and friendship, some of whom I met at summer drama camps and who attended different schools. As I see it, these girls saved me, and now it's my turn to save them. Dancing a few steps in a beautified gymnasium is the least I could do to thank these girls who helped me become who I am. And unlike the goofy cousin who might arrive in a ruffled powder blue tux and tell embarrassing stories about computer camp, I'm a safe choice. Neither of us will blush with sexual tension when it comes time to attach corsage to bosom. I won't make a fool of my date or myself with awkward straight boy dancing. And I'll help her figure out the details of her dress and hairstyle. After all, we wouldn't want anyone committing social suicide in the biggest night of our tender young lives. As a gay date, I also make one of the evening's most unpleasant moments a breeze. I have no problem meeting the girl's parents, a typical sticking point for most guys, because I know that wise and open-minded parents are smart enough to realize that a gay guy is their daughter's best and safest prom bet. If I were a worried mother of a dateless daughter, I would scour the hip coffee shops of my town, waving a rainbow flag in search of recruits. It might cause my daughter to die of embarrassment, but at least she would have a fabulous night out and wouldn't make me a grandmother anytime soon. One thing I've discovered in my brief barrage of proms is that they're all pretty much the same. There's that sense of finality, of going out with a bang. Gay or not, there's still that stomach-churning feeling of anticipation as you and your date see each other in your formal dress for the first time. There's the poor couple wearing the absolute wrong ensemble. There's the burned-out feeling in the early morning from so much fun packed in so little time. Rest assured, the onset of horror from wondering what the pictures will look like decades from now is there every time as well. But sometimes our expectations get the better of us, and the prom's real purpose is lost. It's one of the last times to be together and have fun as a class before everyone scatters and comes back to the reunion 10 years later, balding, divorced, or wildly successful, or exactly, pathetically, the same. Whether you loved your own prom, hated it, missed it, only made it to the parking lot, or were too drunk to remember, there's no denying it's a milestone that only happens once. Or in my case, several times. The one thing I can't understand is why many of my female friends who are charming, attractive, and fun to be with don't have straight male suitors to accompany them. Surely the school halls aren't filled with date-snatching floozies offering the one thing no teenage guy except the gay best friend can say no to. So I've got to believe I see things in these girls that straight guys can't. Because with me, the element of sexual attraction was never there to begin with. Many young gay men make friends with the cool girls who fly under the radar because they don't possess conventional good looks. We get to know these girls for the things about them that matter. Sometimes I want to hold up a sign that says, "Here, date this girl, you idiot." Of course, if they aren't smart enough to figure out a girl is worth dating, they probably aren't worthy of the girl in the first place. Perhaps this is why certain girls and certain gay guys become such good friends in high school. They're waiting for an environment that isn't based on popularity or games. An atmosphere where they can thrive. While I've had an excellent time in high school these past 4 years, I have to believe there is something better out there for me in years to come. I know many of my friends feel the same way. We've all heard famous women talk about how they were ostracized in high school or unpopular with the boys, only later to become gorgeous and desired. Even though they ended up successful, they never had that high school experience of the prom, that one magical time that can never be taken away. I'm here to provide this to many future famous women, even if I don't get it for myself. As much as I'd like to, I will not be attending my own school's prom with a guy. My florist must know this because each time I walk in, she always flips past the boutonniere section of her prom accessories book. I wish this weren't the case. I wish I could take someone with me, because I got prom dreams of my own. They involve buying expensive ingredients at the gourmet food store and spending the entire day making dinner with my date. We would enjoy the food even more, knowing we put all the effort into making it ourselves. And when we walked into the dance, the two of us would initially stun people, not because we were two guys, but just because we looked great. I wouldn't care if I had to learn to make clothes myself, if it meant avoiding that awkward, "I rented this and it doesn't quite fit" look. I would be able to hold his hand all night without feeling weird or attracting attention. By the time it was over, we'd be so tired we wouldn't even care. Right now, however, my prom dream is just that. My school is a great place, but out of about 500 students, there are only a few openly gay kids. I'm pretty brave, but sorry, I just don't feel ready to take a boy to prom. I once tried to take a boy to a school dance, and it was just too weird. It felt like every eye was focused on us for all the wrong reasons. Maybe things will be better for younger guys. I hope so. At my school, attending the prom in groups of friends is normal and acceptable, so that's what I'm doing. Time to drag out that tuxedo again. But I'm looking forward to it. I will thank my friends for the great times and try not to focus on the thing I cannot yet have. I'll walk in feeling sad and knowing that, for better or worse, I'll be leaving these people in the fall. We'll all go off to our own lives. Who knows what'll happen in mine? All proms have their cheesy themes, and ours is no exception. Let the dreams begin, cries out from invitations and prom updates throughout our school. My dream began a long time ago. I'm just waiting for it to come true.
Titus Burgess, reading Frank Paiva's essay, A Prince Charming for the Prom, Not Ever After, though. We'll catch up with Frank after the break.
Living Proof products make life easier. Just ask Sarah from Los Angeles.
Recently, I had to have surgery, and as a result, it was very hard for me to raise my arm and wash my hair. That's when I relied on the dry shampoo. Being able to at least have clean hair just really helped me stay sane. That Perfect Hair Day dry shampoo was huge for me.
Use the code LOVE for a free travel-size dry shampoo with your $20 order. livingproof.com.
We're back. It's Modern Love, the podcast. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And now a postscript from the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times, Daniel Jones, and the author of this week's essay, Frank Paiva.
The piece was published on the day of my school's prom, that very morning. So by the time that we had actually gotten to prom at night, everybody had read it. And one of the mothers that was on the prom committee came up to me and she said, you know, congratulations on the article and et cetera, et cetera. And then she got to her real point, which was that she said, so you think the theme is tacky? And in the article, I actually didn't refer to it as tacky. I referred to it as cheesy. So she was not pleased that I had called something she had been working a very long time on cheesy or tacky.
Some stories that we run in Modern Love are timeless. You know, they could have taken place anytime, anywhere, and they are just about basic emotions. And then other stories that we run in Modern Love, I think of as time capsule essays. And they really represent a moment in time that I think people looking back would think, oh, that's how it used to be. That's how it used to be for a gay high school student. You know, Frank, he just seems way ahead of his time. And I just think for a 17-year-old high school student, it's a remarkably fresh, open, honest, and funny portrait of what being a gay teenager was like in 2005. Even back in 2005, writing in sort of a charming, funny way about being a gay high school student still pressed a lot of buttons for readers. So we would get emails by the hundreds. And, you know, a fair number of those emails were taking him to task for stereotyping straight people, for stereotyping gay people. And, you know, it's hard to write about high school life without stereotyping people to a certain degree. I mean, that's the age when we're falling into different cliques based on stereotypes, really.
So I had about 2 weeks of school left after the article was published. And in that 2 weeks, the school got a flood of things. So letters from people, photos from older gay couples talking about, you know, how long they had been together and what their story was. I got some people who asked me to go to the prom with them. I got some letters, you know, people talking about their own experiences in high school and being gay and, you know, wishing they could take people to dances and whatnot. You know, this is before we could all just get on a computer and communicate with each other and sort of build a community online. You know, back then, I used to go downtown to the Barnes & Noble and stand in the gender studies sociology section, which was like they had like two shelves of gay-related books. And I would just sort of stand there to see, you know, if anybody would show up, which at least to my adult mind now sounds sort of sad and beautiful. But at the time, it felt very exciting. And I wanted so badly to have experience just to be, you know, dating somebody. And it just wasn't happening. And so I think the piece was just a vocalization of that in a succinct way that I had just had certainly felt, but had never tried to coalesce and express before.
Frank has come a long way from the high school gymnasiums and the gender studies section of Barnes & Noble. He's 29 now, a writer, an actor, and a tour guide in New York City. And best of all, he's found a Prince Charming of his own.
So I am in a relationship now. This week we are celebrating our one-year anniversary. So that's really exciting for me. Obviously, I approach relationships much differently now than I did when the article was written, because I have actual experience with relationships, which I didn't really at the time. So I think I'm much more pragmatic now than I used to be. In the 11 years between when I wrote the piece and now, obviously a lot has changed politically. The representation and I think the understanding for teenagers who are coming out of the closet and the difficulties that that can bring. I just think there's a wider awareness of what that means now. You know, I think it's really easy for me to say, like, I felt like parts of the piece now are sort of a museum piece. But, I mean, we all know that's not true. There are so many people that are still in this exact same situation. And so I guess that my hope for people hearing it now was just to be able to see a positive representation of that kind of loneliness that you can feel when that is your reality, and that that loneliness shouldn't lead to despair. That's what I would say. It's what's really important at the end of the day to me.
Frank Paiva, author of A Prince Charming for the Prom, Not Ever After, though. We also heard from Modern Love editor Dan Jones. And special thanks to Titus Burgess for reading this week's essay. We asked Titus why he chose Frank's essay, and he said it was a no-brainer for him.
This is my story. I didn't write this, but I wrote this. I live this. And I'm hopeful that shortly essays like this and experiences like this will cease to exist. And the next podcast that I read will be about how wonderful some gay young child's experience at prom was, and how it was as magical as all you heterosexuals' experience usually is.
You can see Titus Burgess now in season 2 of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. Hear what's coming up next week after the break.
Support for Modern Love comes from Audible.com. Audible.com brings more than 180,000 titles to your ears. Audiobooks like Beautiful Ruins and Sweet Bitter are just a click away. Download the Audible app and listen on your commute, at the gym, or at the beach. There's something for everyone. Classics, nonfiction, romance, and much more. Right now, Audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial. Go to audible.com/modern and get a free audiobook. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/modern and get started today.
If you love Modern Love, the podcast, come to our live show, October 20th at Town Hall in New York City. I'll be there along with Dan Jones, and we'll have actors reading essays live with sound design happening right behind them. It's a truly incredible thing to see in person, and tickets are on sale right now. There's a link for more information at wbur.org/modernlove. Next week on Modern Love, Emmy-nominated actor Sterling K. Brown tells a story about a new dad facing a heartbreaking reality.
Then we realized we weren't in agreement. I was talking about the DNC while Lisa had decided to give birth. Incredulous, I asked why she would want to go through all that pain. She said she couldn't imagine just getting rid of our child by a surgical procedure. She wanted to see him. So I had to ask myself, why didn't I want to meet my son?
Subscribe to Modern Love on iTunes or your favorite podcast app and sign up to receive email updates at nytimes.com/lovetalk. Modern Love is a production of The New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Jessica Alpert, John Parati, and Amory Sievertson. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Our casting consultant is Amy Lippins. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for The New York Times and advisor to the show. Music for the podcast, courtesy of APM. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll see you next week.